about to listen to the Dr. Dahlia Show. Sassy, stimulating medical talk radio. Any medical advice Dr. Dahlia Wax gives on her show should not be substituted for an actual visit to your medical provider. And now, here's Dr. Dahlia.
Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
Hey, guys. We are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DAHLIA, 1-877-DOCDALI. Christopher wants me to talk about farts. In his email to me, he was discussing that some of his farts are smelly. Sometimes they aren't. What causes smelly farts versus non-smelly farts? Because it helps him determine when he could let it rip. You know, because at work, if you could do a silent non-smelly fart, those are the best. But if he has a smelly one, I mean, the whole room could stink for a week. So I think we'll talk about farts today. I mean, why not? I mean, how much lower can my ratings get? We'll also talk about today how the FDA has now alerted us doctors to stop prescribing and dispensing combination drugs that have more than 325 milligrams of acetaminophen or Tylenol. Now, this I already discussed with you in the past when some of you were concerned that your Lortab or your Percocet or your Percocet is your oxycodone, but your hydrocodone medications were being cut down in terms of being with the 500 milligram dosage down to the 325 milligram dosage of the Tylenol. I've already seen this. Pharmacies aren't even dispensing them now in my local area. So the FDA is getting involved with your pain medication and cutting back on the Tylenol. It's a start, but don't think they're finished yet. Then older women have been told now for years that they don't have to get pap smears, and a new study says, no, we still need to screen for cervical cancer in older women. Duh, this is what I've been saying. Just because you turn a certain age doesn't mean your cervix goes away. You could still have your cervix. And if you're sexually active and you have HPV, you could still get cervical cancer. One of the worst cases of cervical cancer I ever diagnosed was a woman when I was in training who was in her 60s. And I mean, the cervix was completely rotten. It was the most horrible case I've ever seen. So we'll talk about that and why we need to be really, really careful when it comes to listening to these new guidelines, of course. And green tea has been found to interfere with some of your blood pressure medications. Not good, because I know a lot of you guys are on this big green tea phase now in your lives as we're starting the new year and you're trying to lose weight and boost your energy, etc. So as you can see, we got a very busy day on the Dr. Dahlia Show, but never too busy to take your calls, your questions, your comments at 1-877-DOCADALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. All right, so before we get to the farts, let's talk about the green tea, okay? Because green tea doesn't make you fart, and so we got to have to get that out of the way because I'm going to probably be recommending to drink some green tea. A new study published in the Clinical Pharmacology and Therapeutics examined the effects of green tea and how the body processes the beta blocker Nadolol. Now, Nadolol is a blood pressure medication in the beta blocker class. Beta blockers slow down the heart rate. And when it slows down the heart rate and kind of decreases the contractility of the heart, you don't seem to have that big a boom or as fast a boom, and therefore the blood pressure can lower. That's how I look at it. Now, after repeated consumption of either green tea or water, healthy volunteers received a dose of the Nadolol. Researchers found that those participants that consumed green tea before receiving the medication had a lower blood plasma concentration of the drug, meaning less active medicine. According to American LiveWire, these results indicate that drinking tea may actually lessen the efficacy of the drug. A spoon of tea, Nadolol, commonly prescribed for treating high blood pressure. Now, does that mean this is going to hurt other blood pressure medications? Well, we need to study them. All right. Right now, researchers are now advising that anybody taking a beta blocker, all right, similar to Nadolol, whether it's a labetalol, propanolol, atenolol, anything that ends in the ol, O-L. You see how we doctors and people in the pharmaceutical industry have to make it easy for us, okay? These drugs have to end in the same letters. Just like your ACE inhibitors, benazepril, zestapril, ill. It makes it so easy for us to identify a drug because these brand names can really get confusing. It's really, really hard to learn two names for every drug. It's bad enough to learn one drug name, let alone two drug names. But if we could take a look at the ending of the word, we could figure out what the hell it is. Like, for example, pregnenolone, prednisolone, methylprednisone, something in own, O-N-E, is a steroid medication. Let me see. Doxycycline, tetracycline, certain antibiotics, the cillins, the penicillin, benzicillin, dicloxacillin. So it really makes it easier for us. So anything that ends in OL, nadolol, atenolol, labetalol, propanolol, that's in the beta blocker class of blood pressure medications. It's the cardiologist's favorite medication. Because if you ever have a heart attack, we immediately give you a beta blocker so your heart doesn't have to work that hard to pump. Now, at first, that seems a little counterintuitive because you want your heart to do the best job possible and you want it to use all its super strength to do what it needs to do, but you want the heart muscle to relax to get the blood flow to it. So if you're increasing your contractility and your heart rate, you could then unfortunately cut off more blood supply. So we give the beta blockers to put less workload on the heart. Pretty cool stuff. All right. So now, many of you don't take this medication because you have other causes of blood pressure. We've discussed those, right? Artery stiffening, your angiotensin renin system, shooting out the hormones, causing everything to kind of tighten up, fluid overload. All right. Maybe excessive salt intake causing you to absorb too much fluid. So those types of issues, you probably wouldn't be on the beta blocker. But for any of you that have a history of heart attack, prone to heart attack, high heart rates, okay, the beta blocker is one of our first choices. I love the beta blockers. So all this does is tell us, look, you got to be careful, okay? Those of you going to natural type of supplements and other sort of means to maintain health, this is just another example that you don't know if it's going to interfere with the pharmaceutical, which is why some of you about to have surgery, you're really upset at your surgeon because they say you can't take anything, right? And there's a whole list, not even Robitussin. You're like, why? Well, because it could interfere with anesthesia. Right? Anesthesia is a big pharmaceutical, right? Right? And we don't want to interfere with pharmaceuticals, whether it be in your body or politically. That's just the way it is. Okay? You just don't mess with pharmaceuticals. Okay? I'm a fan of pharmaceuticals, but I respect the power of the pill. Don't go away. We'll be right back. We got to talk about farts.
Speak. All I do is speak. But you know what? I'm good at it. So request to have me, Dr. Dahlia, speak at your work, party, convention, or retreat is easy to do. Go to our website at drdahlia.com and follow the link. Whether you want it funny or serious, you decide how much sass you want. Whether we discuss women's health, men's health, employees' health, or tackling all of the world's problems, we got it handled. Again, go to drdahlia.com and make management happy.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw-free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pilla, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. Or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina, so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOC-DALI. Big thanks to Genesis Communications Network is making the show happen, although after this next segment, they may not want to make the show happen anymore. But big thanks to Genesis Communications Network. Also, big thanks to Brad, who is working the doc. And a big thanks to you all for tuning in. All right, so Christopher's having an issue with farts and wants to know what's the difference between a smelly fart and a non-smelly fart and why the difference. And I think that's a valid question. Now, of course, since I am a medical doctor, right, you know, I was trained and bred, right, in medicine and Hippocratic oath and cadaver dumb and 36-hour shifts, I have to make any real cool giggly subject boring, okay? But I promise I'll make it interesting, okay? See, we always have to kind of start off acting like it's all academic, all right? So, if we actually look at the chemical composition of flatulence, the chemical composition consists of nitrogen, hydrogen, carbon dioxide, and oxygen. Okay, see, I got to kind of lead in with that, right? So people think this is going to be academic. We can't just make farting sounds on air. FCC gets mad about that. All right, but if we, you know, really, really think about it, the fart has been something with us since man's been made. I mean, I know Eve, right? Eve was the first woman. There's no biblical evidence that she farted. So we think this is only a man thing. If a woman is said to have farted, it's usually the dog in the house, right? The dog or the pet or the husband. And I got to tell tell you, my husband takes such crap. I mean, I love my husband to death. You know, my husband said to take a bullet for me. I don't want him to take a bullet for me. I love the fact that he takes credit for my farts. That is so cool. You know, the hardest thing for me is sitting on an airplane. Okay, because you're not allowed to get up and go to the bathroom. And when you get up and go to the bathroom, it's kind of cold in the bathroom. It's really, really hard to do your business. And so I surround myself with my family. So if I do have to fart on a plane and people look, they think, oh, it's just the kids. Okay? Come on, you've all done that. You've all done that. You just are too wussy enough to admit it. Okay, but I have to admit, I've been very, very concerned about if it's going to be a very, very smelly one or a not so smelly one. Because if it's a not so smelly one, nobody even knows. But then, not only do you have to stress and have heightened anxiety on that topic, but then you also worry, is it going to be loud? Okay, I mean, you know, we concentrate so much on the sound of the fart to make it quiet that we forget that some of the quieter farts could actually be more smelly and more concentrated. So sometimes the more you try to package that air and heighten the concentration of the smaller volume, if we could get, you know, into physics here and mix chemistry and physics to, again, make this academic, you're going to cause a more potent, smelly fart. Now, you have nitrogen, hydrogen, carbon dioxide, methane, hydrogen sulfide, etc. If you look at chemistry.about.com, it actually tells you the different chemicals that can contribute to the smell of farts. There's something called skatol, which is a byproduct of meat digestion, and indole, which is also a byproduct of meat digestion. Contrary to what people think about vegetarians and vegans and their farts actually smell less than a meat eater. So if you really want to cut back on the smell of your farts, you eat less meat. Now, the reason why people think vegetarians and vegans fart all the time is because they think it's from the high fiber and the vegetables. They may fart more. Okay? You give them credit for that. They may have more flatulence, but it's less smelly. All right? Remember with your mathematical equations, right? You would do 2 times 4 versus 8 times 1. They may have 8 farts to your 2, but 1 in terms of smell to your 4, fart equals fart. Okay? So sorry. Okay. So you see that? I just now incorporated some math. Okay, let's go on. Okay, also causing, sorry, the serious subject. Talking about flatulence. You have methanethyl. Methanethyl is a sulfur compound. Dimethyl sulfide is a sulfur compound. But the rotten egg odor, the hydrogen sulfide, this is the flammable gas. This is the gas that people attribute to lighting their farts on fire. It's the hydrogen sulfide. But here's the problem. Your hydrogen sulfide component of your fart may not, or your flatulence may not be as highly concentrated. So a lot of you will try to fart into a match and nothing happens. Well, if you have more of, I don't know, your methanethiol that may not be as flammable, you're not going to light it on fire. And by the way, can I take to not do that? Okay, that's probably one of the stupidest things I've ever heard of people doing. Then, you know why people do that? People have to fart. We just have to. It's just something we have to do. We got to get the gas out. If we get the gas out, we can have more mass movements to our bowel. Okay, farts help you pass your stool. Believe it or not, you have to. If you keep holding it in, if for people who hold in their farts, they get constipated. You really need to pass the gas out. And you need to get rid of it because you don't want to have the bloating, etc. So the reason why people make games of farting is it gives them kind of a, you know, a free pass to fart. Okay, there's also volatile amines. All right, boy, are those amine volatile. And mind you, a crowd of people will get volatile as well. You have short-chain fatty acids. And then, of course, the feces causes the smell. And then bacteria. Bacteria stink. And sometimes you have a more acidic environment. And the acid, the acidity, can also cause the stink. Now, they say if you light your farts on fire, human flatus has the hydrogen gas and methane, which are flammable. Insufficient amounts Okay, the gases are present. There is that possibility to light the fart on fire, but not all farts are flammable. There's an argument that the medium smelly farts may actually be the best composition for that. Okay, now, here's some very interesting facts, they say. They say the speed, now this is according to Zomo.nl. Okay, I found it. It looks like to me a very good academic source. They say the average fart can reach a speed of 10 feet per sound or 3.05 meters per second. We produce 0.5 liters of gas a day, 0.1 gallons. I think that's more. All right. They, according to this site, women do fart as much as men, but we just don't admit it. You may fart about 14 times a day on average. I have that beat by 7 a.m. Most of the time it happens at night. Why? Because you're lying down. That's when your bowel gets to relax. A lot of you guys have the 4 a.m. wake up farts, right? Okay, that's a bad one. Oh my gosh. You know what? And when you sleep with the animals on your bed, like I do, they get so mad. All right. And I have woken up my husband with a 4 a.m. fart and then he can't go back to sleep. You know, maybe that's why so many people are on Ambien. It's not that we're having trouble sleeping or we're playing Candy Crush before we go to bed or you listen to the Dr. Dahlia show before you go to bed or whatever the hell you guys are doing. It's because somebody at 4 a.m. does a 4 a.m. fart. They say herrings fart to communicate with each other. All right. They say fart of the maggots have a similar effect to antibiotics. I guess maggot farts. All right. Let me see what else they say. I guess there are fart offenses in certain counties and in certain countries where if you fart, that could be a crime. They say, according to this, and I can't prove this, this I have to confirm. If you fart consistently for 6 years and 9 months, enough gas is produced to create the energy of an atomic bomb. Then they say scuba divers, I have to ask my husband because he scuba dives, he cannot pass gas at depths of 33 feet or below. They say in ancient Japan, they used to do contests to see who could fart the loudest and the longest. All right. Let me see. Okay. But this is the link that really intrigued me, that there are names for your farts. Remember we talked about the names of the wedgies? Okay. Well, apparently, the annulus crocus bombasticus, they call it, right, is a means of communication and demonstration of power in male. Now, there's a bunch of different ones. You got the sizzler, all right, which I guess they say was used in the First World War as a weapon, but is now banned. It is a fast and quiet form of flatulence. Then they have the board or the Brett fart, all right. This has the deep sound, kind of like a pipe organ. Then you have the hot fart. Now, the hot fart, those are the ones that hurt. They're hot, they're fast, they're silent, all right? But the silent fart they know is known as the Schleicher. I think this was written by a German gentleman. And I guess it has a very, very long life to it. Let me see what else they have. They have the liverwurst fart. They say the liverwurst fart sounds like a liver sausage. Now, I don't eat liver sausage. I guess you guys would know if they have sounds. They say, but in its final stages, it acts like a hinterlast. Now let's look up what a hinterlast fart is, because that's kind of a, you can't do, you know, you can't do a surprise fart at the end. You got a tornado, you got the tornado farts, you got the big bang, you have, let me see, the multiple farts in a row. Unfortunately, you got the wet ones. The wet farts aren't good. Those could leave skid marks. So, there's the morning fart, the surprise fart, the office fart, the beer fart, the fructose fart. So we'll have to talk about this on another day, but I hope you guys are pretty educated. Don't go away.
Would you like being an insider? Would you like getting exclusive access to prizes and better deals? Would you like some help in making sure you and your loved ones are prepared for the next disaster or emergency? If you answered yes to any of these, here's your simple solution. Join Freeze Dry Guy's Survival Insider Club. Not only is your membership free, you get $10 in survival bucks just for signing up. Then you save at least 10% on purchases, plus enjoy insider access to specials, prizes, and other exclusive offers. Since 1970, veteran-owned Freeze-Dry Guy has been your trusted source for long-lasting, easy-to-make freeze-dried food and dehydrated food, perfect for emergency preparedness, RV travel, and outdoor needs from camping to sailing. Enjoy life as a survival insider. Call Freeze-Dry Guy now at 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
To thank you for being a loyal listener, we have a limited time freebie offer for you. Claim your free heirloom tomato seeds, just pay shipping, right now at 123freeseeds.com. These aren't ordinary seeds. These are heirloom, non-genetically modified super seeds that are open pollinated and can be grown, harvested, and replanted endlessly. These survival seeds are actually more valuable than gold in a crisis. Go to 123freeseeds.com and you can get an airtight storage packet of 150 super seeds free while supplies last to say thank you for being a loyal listener. First come, first served. Just cover shipping. Go to 123freeseeds.com now to see if your free heirloom seeds are still available. That's 123freeseeds.com.
It's that time of year again, and you know what that means. Cold and flu season. But don't worry. HerbalHealer.com has you and your loved ones covered with our safe and natural products. Cold and flu fighters like beta-glucans, olive leaf antiviral capsules, grapefruit seed extract, HHA 4-herb capsules, elderberry power, and respirate. And don't forget about oregacillin for the lungs, normally $34.95, on sale now for only $25. Vitamin D3, 120-count soft gels, only $9. Whole body and homeopathic detoxes for the lungs, kidneys, liver, lymph, and brain. Normally $26.95, now just $20. HerbalHealer.com also offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click the Winter Specials button to save on our natural cold and flu fighting products. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
All right, guys, we are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOCDALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. Big thanks to Genesis Communications Network for making the show happen, and big thanks to Brad, who was working the dials. Big thanks to you all for tuning in so diligently. All right, remember, you can follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, The Dr. Dahlia Show. Why would I do that? Just do it, okay? You know, every now and then I put something entertaining up there. It's worth it. Keep posted. Keep you guys up to date on all this new medical news. Many of you are frustrated out there, and I completely understand why. The government wants to start limiting the amount of narcotic medications that are out there. And one way to do that is to slowly go at it piece by piece. Now they're going to work slowly. All right, with Obamacare, it was big one fell swoop, right, of basically a fart to our healthcare system. But when it comes to the medications, they know this is going to be a rough one because a lot of their voters and the registered voters, okay, take pain medication. So what they've been doing is going at it from the acetaminophen level. All right. When you take a pain pill, most of these pain medications are attached to acetaminophen, Tylenol. So you used to be able to get Percodan, which was, I believe, straight oxycodone. And then they came out with Percocet, Percocet attached to the Tylenol. Same thing with your hydrocodone. You used to be able to get just hydrocodone. But hydrocodone attached to Tylenol is Vicodin, Lortab, and people seem to like it. They liked it. It seemed to be a little bit easier on their stomach. It seemed to be tolerated well and some quicker pain relief. So people enjoyed those forms. Lortab, Vicodin, which are pretty equal, and then the class above it, the Percocets, etc. You had a Roxyset. You had also then the Darvocet. Darvocet's been taken off the market. But these pain medications then started to lower in price and become easier and cheaper to prescribe. While all this was happening, doctors were learning that these over-the-counter medications like Buferin and Naprosyn and ibuprofen and aspirin products, etc., and anti-inflammatories were starting to irritate your stomach, irritate your kidneys, and irritate the liver, and cause heart failure for long-term use. So doctors needed to give you all something for your pain. Well, since these other medications were cheaper, they seemed to work better, people liked them more, we started to become a little bit more liberal with pain. Also, I don't know if you guys remember this, it wasn't a couple years back, maybe almost 10 years ago, a lot of us doctors were chastised that we weren't being more liberal with pain medication. I was shocked when this happened because when I went through school, when I went through training, all right, we were told to be very, very careful with the controlled substances because somebody can get addicted. And I would barely give any controlled substance medications at all. All right. And, you know, our attendees would allow it. In fact, one yelled at me saying, Dahlia, you could give him a little more Valium than two pills. Come on. And I, but I'm afraid to write a controlled substance. Oh my gosh, I'm going to lose my license. You won't lose your license. It'll be okay. So a lot of us doctors coming out of medical school wouldn't write pain pills. In fact, one of my colleagues would only write 15 pills, period. So I ended up inheriting a lot of her patients because I wrote 30. But I only wrote 30. And then some guy up the street would write 120, and then he got the patients. Fine by me, because I never really wanted to write more than 30 pills. I was just trained to be very, very cautious about pain medication. Well, then, a couple years later, there was this big, huge push on teaching us doctors how to treat pain and how you can't treat pain half-assed. You can't sit there and tell them to take one pill and try to make it stretch throughout the whole day. If anybody is in chronic pain, there's a few factors going on. Number one is the source of the pain, which could be, let's say, the herniated disc or the headache or the, meniscal tear in the knee, whatever's causing them chronic pain. Spinal stenosis. Okay. So you could, which herniated discs, that's one of the story. And so, you know, telling somebody to take one pain medicine and stretch it out throughout the day is not the proper way to approach somebody in pain. If they're taking a medication that's starting to wear off, you could get a rebound sensation of pain because of the mu receptors now not being satisfied. And receptors being, because when you take a pain medication, the mu receptors in the brain, get covered with the opioid. As the opioid wears off and these receptors start to open up, your brain starts to feel pain. This may have absolutely nothing to do with what's going on in the back or the source of the pain, but as the pain medicine starts to wear off, you'll start feeling pain, which is why many of these medications are dosed specifically such that you don't start to go into that withdrawal of the pain because you get that next medication in there, okay? Because it makes no sense to have relief and then be in hard pain and then have relief and be in difficult pain. It's better to be on a lower pain dose that's continual according to the pain management philosophy that we had learned after I had left medical school. So we were really getting chastised for the way we were prescribing, that we were prescribing too little and inappropriately. And it kind of made sense when you kind of look at the pain threshold and how pain occurs. Plus, the anxiety your patient gets, expecting there to be pain, also worsens the pain threshold. So all of a sudden I realized, okay, wait a second, I need to be a little bit more liberal. Now, I wasn't liberal in terms of my quote-unquote 30 tablets, but if somebody said they were in pain, I would see them back and give them another prescription. And if they didn't want to see their orthopedist, I wasn't going to, you know, cut them off. I would still manage them for pain the best I could. Well, during that time is when pain medication numbers and prescriptions went through the flipping roof. All right. Then a couple years ago, we were again urged to get people off the anti-inflammatories. There's too many people taking anti-inflammatories. It's dangerous. And so your patients that are now 80 years old, 75, 80 years old, that are surviving the heart attack and the cancer, et cetera, are having arthritis type pain. Yet they're burning their kidneys and their heart and their stomach lining with the anti-inflammatories over the counter. So we're moving them over to pain medication. Or these opioid agonists like your tramadol. So we now have so many people dependent on these pain medications, and now with this whole Obamacare issue and Washington wanting to go more socialized and control the costs, etc., they want to start cutting back on these prescriptions. Now, what we have forgotten in all of this is we could be overdosing on Tylenol. If you take a Vicodin, Lortab, that has half a gram of Tylenol, and you're taking about 8 of them a day, you're up to already 4 grams of Tylenol. We don't want you going near 8 milligrams. So you see how it's very easy to start becoming acetaminophen toxic, all right, and start having liver toxicity. So what's been happening now in the last couple months is your doctor and your pharmacy is not giving you a medication that has half a gram of Tylenol. It's cutting back down to 325 milligrams. You see, this is why I have a show. Okay, it's not because I'm talented. It's because a lot of times you don't really get the background scoop on why everything happened and what's going on. Now, this may not affect many of you. Some of you may be like, Dahlia, I've tried both Lortabs. It really doesn't matter. I don't feel it. Fine by me. Okay, good. Okay, good. But for some of you, yeah, you are noticing it. All right, and this is just the start. There's going to be a huge push now to not prescribe these medications. All right, I think there's already limitations starting to be set by Medicaid. And we're kind of watching in fear and in horror on what sort of changes are going to happen, because if you don't have health insurance and you're dependent on these medications and you're on the government dime and the government dime says, no, we're not paying for it, what do you do? Especially if you become addicted to them. Now, we are going to see then a rise, if any of you are looking at a field to go into in this horrible recession, expect the field of narcotic withdrawal and narcotic addiction helpers and therapists and doctors, though that is going to be we are going to be in desperate need of people that can help you withdraw off your narcotic and figure out how to handle your pain, as well as any sort of pain management. So right now, if your doctor accidentally gives you the half a gram of Tylenol with your pain pill, tell them to lower it. That's the plan, Stan. Don't go away. We'll be right back. 1-877-DOC-DELLY.
All I do is speak. But you know what? I'm good at it. So requests to have me, Dr. Dahlia, speak at your work, party, convention, or retreat is easy to do. Go to our website at drdahlia.com and follow the link. Whether you want it funny or serious, you decide how much sass you want. Whether we discuss women's health, men's health, employees' health, or tackling all of the world's problems, we got it handled. Again, go to drdahlia.com and make management happy.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve
improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE.
Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
It's no secret that silver is one of the oldest known natural antibiotics, but the mainstream media will never tell we the people this information. Why? Many drug companies and politicians have dangerous alliances that manipulate the way we live by prescribing drugs that only manage disease, keeping us dependent on big pharma. And with Obamacare at our doorstep, we are now forced into a system that many of us do not want any part of. And no man or government has the right to dictate how we as free people choose to take care of our health. The patriots at utopiasilver.com hold this truth dear. Colloidal and ionic silver supplements from utopiasilver.com open the door to a whole new world of natural healing for the body and the mind. Visit utopiasilver.com and discover the safe and effective health benefits of colloidal and ionic silver. Call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and talk to the patriots at utopiasilver.com, a leading source of natural healing using colloidal silver, colloidal gold, minerals, vitamins, and herbs. utopiasilver.com.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique, affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
All right, guys, we are back on the Dr. Dolly Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY, 1-877-DOCDALI. Please follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, the Dr. Dahlia Show. All right, so they say cervical cancer screening beyond age 50 does save lives and remains beneficial even up to the age of 69. Now, this is coming out of Great Britain. They say both the CDC and the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force right now says that we should stop screening at age 65 because women are considered old by then. And I'm going to tell you right now, when I'm 65, I'm going to still be trying to wear mini skirts and, you know, my stockings and you know, stuffing my bra and all the other good stuff that I do now. So don't be calling me old when I'm 65. That's bullcrap. In this new study, researchers examined data from 1,300 women aged 65 to 83 in England and Wales who were diagnosed with cervical cancer between 2007 and 2012 and compared them to women in the same age group who didn't have cervical cancer. The results showed that women who did not undergo the cervical cancer screening after age 50 were 6 times more likely to be diagnosed with cervical cancer than those who had regular screenings but had no abnormalities. There were 49 cancers in the first group versus 8 cancers in the second group per 10,000 women over 20 years, etc. All right, so they go into the rate, and basically the gist of it is you should still be screening older women for cervical cancer. Now, I know some of you are going, wait a second, but if you're over 50, your periods have stopped. You don't have to have pap smears after your periods stopped. Oh, yes, you do. I can't believe how many of my patients come in saying, no, I stopped my period, so I don't have to get that done. No, you do have to get that done. You still have a uterus and ovaries. You still have, and, you know, even if you had them surgically removed, you know, you still have a vagina that needs to be looked at. Okay, you could still get vaginal cancer. There's still things that need to be looked at. How I was taught is you should have an exam, a pelvic exam, once a year. Now, I understand guidelines have changed, but I was taught you have a pelvic exam. Whether you have the pap smear or not, you should still have the pelvic exam. Remember, the pap smear at the time when I was trained was the little smear on the slide. You would take some cells from the cervix or take some cells from the vagina, etc., whatever was left, and you smear it onto the slide, and then you send it to the lab. Yeah, kind of like, you know, smear. People call it smear. I don't understand why they do that at like Einstein's Bagels, but you smear. It's a smear. It's a, I don't understand why they put the H in there. But anyway, pap smear. Because people come in, you know, eating some Einstein's Bagels, and I go, I'm here for my pap smear. So that's not a pap smear, okay? Don't mix that with food. And so when there was debate on somebody who's menopausal, do we need to do the pap smear? We were taught, all right, well, you may not have to do the slide, but still go in there and look. Okay, evaluate them for any urinary incontinence, look for urinary polyps, do the urine exam, check for melanoma down there. All right, you know you're supposed to be having a rectal once a year. How many of you guys are getting that? All right, and that was the other thing we were trained. We were trained back in the late 90s that everybody, man and woman, needed a rectal exam once a year. So if you're already going in for your pap smear, the rectal exam gets done. Now, many people have respectfully declined the rectal exam, etc. But the idea that you having a body cavity that doesn't have to be looked at is, to me, strange. Okay? You know, so when people say, oh, you don't need any more pap smears again, that doesn't mean you don't get examined. You just don't get the smear. You see that? But we're trying to cut down health costs. We're trying to cut down embarrassment. We're trying to cut down uncomfortable situations of you having to go in and get examined. So we're letting women go now for years at a time. I don't see how, though, that's safe. Okay? If women older than 50, even up to 69, are still getting cervical cancer, then that means, all right, that there is still a culprit. And the culprit is probably HPV, the human papillomavirus vaccine, or the human papillomavirus. Now, there's a vaccine for that that is only given to women up until age 26. I'm kind of baffled by that, too, because, you know, what if you're a 40-some-year-old woman and your husband cheats, right, and then gives you HPV, and you don't get that screened? Yeah, it should maybe show up on a pap smear if you're tested for it, but it would be nice to know that, you know, maybe we could stop pap smearing if we vaccinate everyone. The only thing is that doesn't mean we still don't evaluate your ovaries, your uterus, etc. So there's more to below the waist than just the smear of the cells. And now with this one study, they're like, no, you should be screening up until 69. And now, adding more insult to injury, you have a huge sexual revolution now with your older patients in their 60s. Now, mind you, a lot of my patients now in their 60s and 70s were very active in the 1960s. So of course they're going to want to have sex. Okay? I mean, we are seeing a very vibrant generation here. And the baby boomers, they know how to entertain themselves and keep themselves young. So sex lives in my older patients seem to be even more fruitful than my, maybe not fruitful and multiply, but more vigorous than even my middle-aged folks these days. I think the middle-aged folks, yeah, they like sex and all that, but they're still all freaked out about the whole STD thing. Yeah, your older generation is like, oh, to heck with this. You know, we didn't care in the 60s, and we don't care now in our 60s. So if you are having more sexual activity, you're going to have more HPV. Right, I've been treating older women for gonorrhea, herpes, etc. Of course they could be having HPV. So as far as I'm concerned, you should still have a pelvic exam regularly. Whether you get the smear or not will be between you, your doctor, and your insurance company. You and your insurance company. But I think it behooves you to not assume that just because you're a certain age, you don't have to get screened. Now, they're now saying you could wait with your pap smear until you're age 21. Even if you're sexually active, they say you could wait till you're 21. I disagree with that. Okay, if you have no idea if your teenage daughter has been having sex, and then you find out that she was probably having sex at age 14, I don't want HPV sitting there brewing for 7 years. So I would recommend anybody that's sexually active to at least sit down with the gynecologist and talk. They say, according to the CDC, if your pap results are normal, you could wait 3 years until your next pap test. So you could have a pap at 21 and then age 24. That makes me nervous. But those are the guidelines. If you're 30 years old or older, they say you may want to get the HPV test when you have the pap test. Okay? It could be tested at the same time. They could look at it through the pap. Okay? They say your doctor could tell you, if you don't have HPV, that you could wait 5 years until your next screening. They're assuming that your partner that you're with, you're going to be with the same partner, or the partner that you're with isn't cheating on you. If you're 21 to 65, they say discuss with your doctor, okay? If you're older than 65 right now, they're saying it, or you've had a normal pap smear for several years, all right? Or if you've had your cervix removed or a total hysterectomy for non-cancerous conditions, you do not need to have a pap test anymore. That's what we've been telling people. Yet I'm hearing gynecologists are doing differently. So right now, the U.S. Preventative Task Force is saying pap smear age 21 on up every 3 years until age 65. 30 to 65, you could lengthen the screening and maybe go every 5 years. They are not recommending women under 21 to get a pap smear. This is ridiculous. So then, what kind of confuses me is, if we're supposed to be screening for chlamydia in sexually active women under 26, you're supposed to be screening for chlamydia under sexually active women under 25. Right? The way to screen for chlamydia in women is you take a cervical swab. So if I'm screening an 18-year-old, they're telling me just not to do the pap while I'm in there. It's very frustrating for me. Okay, we're in the age now of do not do. And like this British study, maybe we should do. All right, don't go away. I got to go do.
New year, new website, new ways to protect your health and privacy. To thank you for our recent success, BlockItPocket.com is extending our holiday offers. See these new, get one free New Year deals only at BlockItPocket.com and only through January 31st. Enhance cell phone and wireless device safety and security with products that work from a family-owned American business. Call or click 888-315-9618 or BlockItPocket.com, your source for wireless protection and information.
Did you know that organic sulfur can cleanse and defend your body against the poisons we're exposed to each day? Organic sulfur crystals from sulfurdefense.com help by forcing oxygen and nutrition into your cells while eliminating heavy metals, contaminants, and damaging radiation.
Defend yourself and family from toxic assault with one of the most critical and essential minerals available today. Order online at sulfurdefense.com. That's sulfurdefense.com or call 800-593-6273.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
Folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.